Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Michael Sidwick, joined by fellow Dudley boy Michael Hamflett to discuss everything that's in store for us on Monday Night Raw tonight. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. We preview and review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0.
Oh!
Dynamite, Rampage, pay-per-views, we conduct wrestler interviews, hold roundtable discussions, and host a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. Now, you might have noticed that this is Michael Sidgwick talking to you right now, and not Adam Wilborn. Unfortunately, he is off ill today. We wish him all the best. It's nothing serious, I don't think. And anyway, on the subject of Adam Wilborn, he has a few tactics he employs to fill out 20 minutes of ad rollout friendly audio copy when WWE hasn't bothered to announce a show. We gently take the mick out of it because it's not Wilborn we're taking the piss out of. It's WWE for not giving us anything to talk about, which is a generally pronounced issue in the company anyway, but, you know, it's literally true on the eve of a show that you theoretically want to look forward to. He says things like, how will X respond to X? He says things like that five times throughout the podcast. How will respond? What next for Dolph Ziggler? You know, someone who's worth talking about. Which are very few WWE acts these days. Can you remember any off the top of your head?
What's anyone? That? Wilborn Shortcuts.
How will they respond?
Well, see, Fallout's his absolute favourite. But you almost can't do that on a go-home show. That's the one episode a week where you can't do Fallout.
Well, yeah, Fallout from what next for? How will X respond to X? I've gone on WWE.com because I haven't really been paying attention to WWE. It's been an AEW weekend. So I went on the Twitter account and the official website, and I went on Figure Four Weekly, because they often have previews of the show in question. And whenever something gets announced, they'll put it on and they will say on what else is on the show is X, Y, Z, and whatever. There's nothing like that on Figure Four Weekly. I went on WWE's Twitter page and couldn't find anything. And a thumbnail buried under, you know, SmackDown and Tribute to the Troops stuff on WWE.com was the following. This is from WWE's official website. Not Adam Wilborn's notes.
Okay.
How will WWE champion Big E respond to Kevin Owens' attack?
I'd be pissed off, wouldn't I?
No. Yeah, right. End of podcast.
That's it, we're done. That'd be pretty annoying. It's, right, earnest preview stuff, because there's so little go off.
No.
Like, Big E... we'll be annoyed. We'll be pissed off with Kevin Owens. And WWE are actively, like, downplaying the full plate of Big E at the moment. He's had Kevin Owens turn on him. He's got Seth Rollins walking around with a clipboard. And he's got Roman Reigns at the Survivor Series. If any promo might have some meat on the bones, it's Big E's tonight. After he's welcomed everybody at Monday Night Raw, of course, gets the important jobs out of the way, then he can get onto the pithy admin of actually wrestling for a living. He's got three feuds happening. But, like, most wrestlers kind of get one. and certainly not one that's coherent and one that you can actually draw from 2 or 3 weeks prior of what's gone on. And yet, over on SmackDown, Roman Reigns has put both of his mates on the injured list, potentially. Seth Rollins, it's not Money in the Bank, but they're treating it kind of like it is. That, oh, when Big E least expects it, I'm going to take my title shot. And Kevin Owens is a bastard again. Big E's actually got things to talk about, and they've even gone to the trouble of underselling. They don't care. They don't care if we watch it. That's the conclusion I can draw from this, is that they don't care. I don't think once have they said, what's Big E going to do? He's canny fucked here. And yet we've been able to draw that from their half-baked and half-assed storylines over the last few weeks. They don't care.
I mean, I'm going to really try hard to answer this question. The question, just to remind you, I'm not filling time or anything like that. The question, to remind you, is how will WWE champion Big E respond to Kevin Owens' attack? Now, WWE scripting is so pointlessly, it's basic, it's just overthought all at the same time. I suspect he will respond by saying, I told you this would happen, Kev, because I kind of drove you to this by being a bit of a dick. So I can't be, I'm not blameless in all this. So what do we do? Have a fight? Who do people cheer for in the fight? I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what to say. I can't feign any enthusiasm. I can't even at this point feign any... I can't feign nihilism. I can't feign boredom. I'm just at a loss as to do any content on this company at the minute. I imagine being a fan of this, getting yourself up for this, thinking what's going to happen on Raw. I try, or I am currently in the process of trying to work out what it is that people like about this program, and other than it not being AEW because it's automatically bad because I've watched The Fed all my life, now that means I'm fair. I can't work it out. It is impossible.
Actually, this is, it's not a
thing that happened in the World Wrestling Federation.
Oh, I remember it actually used to as well.
That's great.
Right, this is a bit of a tangent, but it is sort of loosely related to Raw.
I need all the tangents I can get. They've given us Wilborn copy on the official website. Give us a tangent.
I got a little bit pissed off at the weekend because there is such a love, and I get it, and it's great. Fundamentally, it's great. There is such a love for AEW from its core that I have long dealt with the sensitivity of its hardcore base to criticism of it. And what annoys me about that is that so often, and I get it, that the waters are polluted. They are. The waters are polluted. I understand that. But AEW being good encourages discussion of what you are watching as a product, as an art form. So we analyze things and we might like it or we might dislike it, but we are able to analyze it within the rules of its own universe, within the context of which it is presented, not as what the frig does any of this mean? Like, how can this possibly be meaningful with a week to go before the pay-per-view? Why should we care how the WWE champion is going to address Kevin Owens? All, like, those are the worst questions to be asking about something that is a fictional program. We are, you know, if certainly when I'm choosing to challenge or be critical of the stories in AEW, what that reveals is a very, very deep-rooted investment. And it pisses me off when thick people don't get that. When the versions of the Roman Reigns avatar accounts that have instead the AEW logo in their, like, their Twitter avatar or whatever it is. Because I also don't think that that section of the fan base understands the benefit of critical analysis of these art forms. It's really fun. It's part of it. You'd lump it in there with fantasy booking. Hopefully anybody that listens to this podcast will understand it because they're listening to a podcast. You want a bit more. You want a... take something from it and then share that with others and then see if anybody else has thought that as well and then listen to some other takes and different takes. It is actively depressing that there is almost nothing, and Wilborn tries every week as well. For all we mock his copy, and we do, what he looks for is ways to take this product that doesn't give us these little narrative threads, and he tries to create them for me and you to pull on them in previews and reviews every single week. And it's so frustrating that we're talking about a television show that is supposed to be viewed in that way, and we can't do it. Like, you cannot do it. And it, that's why I wanted to bring my tangent back in, because that's what these exist for. If you are a discerning and super engaged and super plugged in viewer, that's how you're supposed to take these things. That's why, just enjoy it. Just have fun. That's why that's such a wretched take in and of itself, is because if you put the blinkers down, then you let them get away with whatever they want. And when they get away with whatever they want, you're left after 20 odd years with this. When this goes unchecked, you get this.
I don't know how I'm going to finish this podcast. I'll tell you what, let's get a couple of hundred extra listeners with a search term, okay? Or keyword. I love how much these people make it seem like the rule-proving exception that it is. It's just so funny whenever you try and say, oh, this is really bad. Not only is it just a terrible TV show, the danger is that it's chronically uninteresting and no one really cares about talking about it. Mm. Like I was on for my sins, I went on Squared Circle the other week just to, you know, see what the discussion was, if there's any content in it, any idea generation, you know, a peek behind the curtain. And the AEW Dark Elevation thread was popping more upvotes, more discussion than the Raw thread. It's AEW's C-tier show. And I know it's just a small corner of the internet. I know the internet in itself is not something that is really reflected in the TV audience and whatever. But, like, how badly will AEW have to mess up on Squared Circle or on Twitter hashtags or whatever metric of engagement you can think of? I don't think last week was an aberration. How bad would it have to be for Main Event or 205 Live to track more than AEW Dynamite? What are we doing here with this program right now?
Ironically, the only time that Main Event or Superstars or any of that sort of stuff would get any sort of traction would be like if a Ricochet or Mustafa Ali were wrestling on there, and then people were like, what's this doing happening on Main Event? And he said, well, if you're a real fan of these people, you want to keep it on Main Event and get nowhere near fucking Raw, because that's where they'll go to die. Like, appreciate if they're given 10 minutes, just have a match on the show that nobody watches, because you know who else doesn't watch it? Vince McMahon. And he won't see them and think, I can really ruin them on a Monday evening. I'll have them back, thank you very much. Like, I wonder if Mustafa Ali, assuming that he gets paid the same, pines for the days of just getting to have like 10-minute matches with people he respects rather than trying to lug dreadful gimmicks over the line, or like try and be given the brass ring of opportunity and it be retribution. I have some copy, Cedric, for the tweet, for the podcast search terms. I've got some, because without anything, like, it's a go-home show, isn't it? It's a go-home Raw, but without anything previewed on Raw, we have to assume that they're going to try and go home, which is, in this case, the Survivor Series.
So will Roman Reigns turn up? That's the question I'm going to have to ask.
Well, that's just as good as the one I had, because you can only pick from four matches because they've only booked four things, and we're not going to get any copy off Damian Priest and Nakamura face-to-face ahead of mid-card title class. But we might get something from shoot promo question mark, because could Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair collide on Raw tonight for the first time since the soul-crushing, spirit-sapping belt swap of SmackDown a few weeks ago? They have been, I think, quite admirably allowing the conversation to breathe. If anything, cynical head on, it makes me think that it's a work, and they're good enough. This is not the Brett Shawn that people think it is, nor will the match have the energy of the first half of the 97 Survivor Series match. I hope it does, like, because Becky and Charlotte have done that when they were best mates, so I hope they've still got it in them when they're worst enemies. But the unspoken truth doesn't get said enough about Brett and Shawn, is that you kind of wish they did get along better, because they never had the match that they should have had. And a lot of that comes from the lingering spite between the pair of them. And I hope that's not there between Lynch and Flair, because when they were on, few could touch their chemistry. But that's no good for getting some people to listen to this. So, yes, it's all going to break down tonight when they shoot on each other on the old flagship.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. So Roman Reigns, you know, he might turn up, he might not. But the most important thing is that we've covered it in a bullet point.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, on the subject of Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch, like, I get pelters for using these comparisons, but I do them because it's such a very effective shorthand way of illuminating the chronic problems that continue to plague WWE as something relevant, as something worth discussing.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch are really big stars, right? Mm-hmm. They are at least top five in this company in terms of star power. Like Roman Reigns, Becky Lynch, probably the one and two. Mm-hmm. Charlotte Flair is like, she's got to be in the top five.
Yeah.
In terms of who they perceive to be and who, like Fox really wanted Charlotte Flair on the show. She must on some level do decent in the quarter hours. She's all over the show. Yeah, Charlotte Flair's in that top five. So you've got two members of your top five having a real-life shoot feud that goes so disastrously wrong when they try to adapt it or do something with it on screen that it leads to a combustible shoot fight backstage. How sexy are these terms in terms of clicks and headlines and intrigue? Top star shoot fight backstage. Like, you should be, as a content creator, you should.
That's a bullet point. That's a stick a question mark and exclamation mark on that. And that's the Wilborn capital letters one at the end.
You should.
Top star shoot fight backstage.
Absolutely. Like, click, like, you know, when you jam your finger, you should be hurting your own finger clicking on that. Top star shoot fight backstage. And again, circling back, this happens in AEW, right? And a top five level star has a shoot fight nearly backstage with a fellow top five star. Imagine an AEW, right? I'm trying to think of people who used to be friends but aren't anymore. Like
Punk and Cabana is the one.
But well, they're not even like Cabana's.
One of them's not a star, but like it's yeah.
We're not. What if CM Punk and Kenny Omega had a shoot fight? Dynamite tapings on Wednesday. And you saw the headline, CM Punk, Kenny Omega almost come to blows
backstage
at Dynamite on Wednesday. You'd think, Christ, I need to know every single first and second hand account of the story. I need to know why it started. I need to know if there's been any hints as to like how it started. I want to know who threw the first punch, if there were any punches thrown. I would want every single question answered. I would go onto every single pro wrestling website and trying to determine this answer. I would refresh Twitter to see if there are any developments, statements, follow-up accounts. This happened in WWE. It's actually happened. Two top five tier stars have a bust up. Does anyone care? I remember a little bit like, that's interesting. Might as well have a click. There's nothing else in this company worth clicking about. It should be enormous.
Yeah.
Rock and Mankind in 1999 have a shoot fight backstage. You should be...
Yeah.
But this is literally the only thing they've got. And it's not even that interesting because I read it and thought, I can see why. I know what's going on. The creative's rubbish and starting to infect how the stars actually feel about how it depicts them. This is the only thread they've got that people have vaguely talked about, and yet again not that much. I would just go full Carney. I'll go full Carney, work shoot, out of pure desperation, mind you, I wouldn't do work shooters the norm. I don't really like it. But in this specific instance, if I'm a writer in that room and I'm not piss scared of this lunatic that pays me, if I've developed a semblance of a rapport with them, I'm going to go up to them and say, we have to put this on television. It's the only intriguing thing we have. Like, have them bullet point it or script it and put them in the ring together. And maybe people will watch because they know about the real life issues, and it might make for either completely awkward television, as the title exchange was. It'll be interesting in some way, even if it's crap. Why can't they do anything?
Well, I think interesting, even if it's crap, is something they can't even summon with the Survivor Series build. You can't, I mean, they might, so I guess they can, but theoretically, you can't send Adam Pearce out there tonight to say, right, men, women of the Survivor Series teams, you're all having tune-up matches. You're going to wear red shirts. Just remind our idiot fan base that you're fighting for Team Raw on Friday.
I need reminding.
Well, I don't know who's on whose show. But, like, I need you at your best. And this is going to be, what's the beat the clock or something like that. You know, where if you lose your match, you're out the team, all that kind of thing. Because where's the general manager of both shows? And both general managers across both episodes last week seemed hell-bent on injuring their own teams. There was matches, there was attacks, completely rooted in stirring things up and hurting the people that have been booked, presumably through a selection process, through a final sign-off, all the paperwork that goes through the books of these matches, and then it gets to the Monday and the Friday, like, let's injure them. Let's see what we can do. They've put SmackDown now has got two to be confirmed, has it not? They lost
Leah,
potentially, off the women's one as well. Dominic got battered out the team by Bobby Lashley last week. He's got there's a reckoning with him and his father, but we'll save that for Survivor Series preview because I've got to
happen tonight. Anyway, I hope it does.
He got Will Bormer's off sick for the bit.
And I had no appetite to do the bit.
So it just, we didn't get to do the bit. The Survivor Series matches remain unfilled in now because they've done the write-off of the, like, at least one each of the SmackDown wrestlers. And they've not, this is not, I'm just thinking about what they do to flesh out the rest of that card tonight. And because it's Survivor Series, the answer to the question is, the tags and the secondary champions fight each other. That's it, isn't it? You tell RKO, out of absolutely nowhere, RK-Bro, sorry, out of absolutely nowhere, oh, by the way, you're fighting the Usos, see you Sunday, dickheads. Like, what trash. What absolute trash. Damien Priest, like, I know you try your hardest to give a toss, and I love that you try because I know that you don't, but I quite like
Damien Priest.
You try a bit, and I think that's nice, but, like, because I think you can see somebody that is somehow surviving on that show, and I think there's a modicum of respect for how somebody jumps through the end. It's a Crypto Factor Assault Course just being a WWE wrestler, and how Damien Priest continues to navigate obstacle after obstacle is legitimately quite impressive, if not narratively so. And now it's all about, he's Damien, like, because they're doing an Only Fools and Horses joke from 30 years ago, and they're putting it on Raw and making it current. He's the darker side, Damien. He's fighting the guy in Nakamura who doesn't even care about the wrestling. He just likes to surf. Why? Because they've both got secondary titles. They don't. They've got 30 terrified fools in a room scared of Vince McMahon, but they can have the best writers and there's nothing they can do to summon any interest at 6 days notice between Damien Priest and Shinsuke Nakamura. But it's happening. It's happening. And if it's not, the only reason it's not is because they're gonna think that they can do one of those late title switches and people are going to care, like when AJ beat Jinder for the belt or Brian beat AJ for the belt. That's the only way you get out of this meaningless mid-card match is by making a feud out of it and making one of them lose a title. Stupid.
Even you telling me about the possibility of a meaningless mid-card non-title match just points me in the direction of another complaint. Shouldn't Rick Boogs be the guitarist for a guy whose finishing move is named after Metallica?
Yeah.
Isn't Rick Boogs more likely to be around Damien Priest than Shinsuke?
Aye, but it's not about actual characteristics of human beings, is it? They're just told to go out there and act my talking props. Like, they just go out there and they do their bit and leave.
Just How did Booth's and Nakamura come to be? I know how it comes to be. It's always like, it's damning when you think about it for more than a second. You're boring, and or we've normalized you. What do we do to make you less boring? Wacky guitar man from Paul's thing that I'm going to kill. Then there's your lot. So what have we got for bullet points? How will Big E respond to Kevin Owens? Will Roman Reigns show up? Top star shoot fight backstage.
Good. Yeah, covered that.
I need two more.
Two more? Hell, skip. Can we, should we do a five, should we tease a five-star review? We'll just trail one instead.
I need two more bullet points, man.
Two more bullet points, right. Jesus Christ. I was trying there. I didn't want to like leave any dead air, but I was just trying to think of a single inciting incident from last week's Raw. Oh, there must be something. There must be. That was 7 days ago, brother. Like, there must be something, mustn't there?
I remembered minute, subtle plot threads in the Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page match from over a year ago that informed my enjoyment of that match, right? I'm talking about leg-clutching stuff that happened in August or September of last year. I can't remember a thing that happened on Raw last week other than there was that 8-man tag that went 23 minutes, the main event went 25 minutes. Yeah. There's a women's match that went 16 or 7. Oh, God, Liv Morgan, who isn't fighting Becky Lynch at Survivor Series, is probably going to do something with Becky Lynch tonight.
Yeah, Liv Morgan. I was just thinking that. And, like, beloved by a fan base as well. So good for the copy. Liv Morgan.
How will she respond? How will Becky Lynch respond to Liv Morgan?
How will Becky Lynch respond to Liv Morgan's response? How will Reggie respond to Drake Maverick, having lost and regained his 24/7 title?
I forgot all about that. Liv Morgan.
She's got a shot lined up.
I need one more bullet point.
What about dissension in Team Raw? Because Rhea Ripley got offended with Zelina Vega's Australian accent.
I'd say, why not? I can't do accent. I'm trying to do it in Australia. I can't do it.
And what about me? Isn't it? In the background, a bit angry that she's been left out of the team.
She should just believe in herself then. So, descent. I've got the five bullet points. Every week this gets more and more like, how do I continue to do this?
I fired up doodly.com just now. And what the wording was, how does Big E respond? Like, the Raw result copy says from last week, Kevin Owens unleashes vicious attack on Big E after count out miscalculation. So, like, just already this.
How do you count to 10?
This word soup has been spewed into the ether. Like, Big E responds, I want to talk about last week's count out miscalculation.
But it's even stupid when you think about it. Because if you miscalculate a count out, it means he probably thought, did he think he had 9?
Yeah.
Or did he think he had 11? Hence why he didn't get in the ring in time, because he miscalculated.
Kevin Owens to gaslight referee about meaningless loss.
Count out miscalculation?
Yeah.
It's not even New Japan scores to 20.
It's not on, is it?
My 3-year-old daughter can count to 20. How can you miscalculate a count out? Don't use any words. Shut the company down.
That's not the first count that I've seen Kevin Owens miscalculate, because I've seen one of my fitness pal trying to track his calories.
if Seth Rollins... I'm trying to do a segue here and you've ruined it. If Seth Rollins' laugh also makes you want to die, let us know at What Culture WWE. Whilst you're there, you can follow Michael Hamflet at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at MCidric. Once again, you can follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. If you want to see if we can maintain similar levels of enthusiasm for the Raw review tomorrow, you can find that wherever you get your podcast from. So make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. And until then, I have to watch this.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.